turn the corner. You know, we are kind of doing a dual thing here at this point, because as the theme for the whole year that we adopted at the beginning of the year, we said we were going to learn something about discipleship that God had put into my spirit when I was praying about what is discipleship. Even though I've been a disciple a long time, I just felt led to pray and ask God, what is discipleship about? And he reminded me and made it very clear in my spirit that it is like we say here. I'm just going to share this with you right from your handout if you have one. If you don't, we may have some others somewhere. Make that known to the ushers and we'll see if there is another one there for you. Otherwise, we're looking at the book of the Psalms, number 98. You're going to look at that Psalm number 98 and also John 15, verse 11 to 18, a very familiar passage. And our annual theme was learning to love like Jesus, because that's the essence of what discipleship is about, is how do you love like Jesus? Because Jesus told his disciples to go and teach all the nations. So my prayer was about, Lord, what I know you want us to teach them the Bible, but what is the essence of the teaching? And that sifts down into teaching them to love like Jesus. Now, when we see the love of Jesus, we see the most extreme love that there has ever been.
That's right.
Because he said, greater love hath no man than this. We're going to talk about that. Than a man would lay down his life for his friends. See, and so that's the greatest expression of love that there has ever been. And so what I want to talk with you today, since our annual theme is learning to love like Jesus, which is based on John 13 and 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. See, that's the badge of your discipleship. If ye have love one to another.
Yes.
See that? So now as we continue our studies of the display of God's victory during the season of the Passion, as we call this time of year, the Passion of the Christ. This is when Jesus showed the ultimate love by giving his life as a sacrifice for all of our sin. And this is history. This is not speculation. It's not anything but historic fact. The history and the facts about the crucifixion of Jesus are indelibly written in every accurate history book.
Amen.
If you want to study the Roman Empire and that type of thing, you will have to come across the passages that address what happened over in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Right outside the gates of the walls. That's fact. It's historic fact. It's not folklore nor myth.
That's right.
So now as we continue these discoveries here, as we study what God has done in this season of the Passion, our lesson for today gives us more reason to understand exactly that we, the church, must continue to practice, and this is our statement for our message, open application and proclamation of the greatest love ever. So we want to talk about that today. What is this open application? In other words, how do we apply what this love is that Jesus said to ourselves and to others? And how do we proclaim it to others? See, and that's what he told them to do. When he sent them out, he said, go therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. See, so there's no limitation on any geography where you and I want the gospel to go. Because God says, take it into all the world. And as you go, teach. The Greek literally says, as you are going into the world, teach. Make disciples. What is a disciple? We say that a disciple is a learner. We're here to learn. God didn't say you have to know everything, but you need to learn. Be constantly in the process of learning. And what are we learning specifically? How to live like Jesus when you break it down. Remember how Jesus condensed the word. He said, somebody asked him, great teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, well, it's like this, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, I can condense all the teaching of the Bible down into love God supremely above everything and love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
It has a horizontal and a vertical application. Vertical to God, love you above all. Horizontal,
amen,
to all my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And everybody in the world. And there's specific information which needs to be taught or proclaimed, as we say. And that's what Jesus said. He says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yes.
And then he said, as you go, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, what that says is that our message will continue as long as the world continues.
Amen.
We have a message that God loves you just like you are.
Yes.
He has given his son, that's history, for you.
Yes.
No matter who you are, no matter how you are,
Amen.
No matter where you are.
Amen.
See, it's a universal love God has given to every person, and the church's duty is to let you know God gave his son for you.
Right.
How did he do that? He allowed him to be crucified on the cross.
Wow.
And he died on the cross to pay the debt for all your sin.
Wow.
He was buried in the grave, and 3 days and three nights later, according to the law and the prophets, he got up out of the grave and proclaimed, all power is given to me in heaven and earth.
Yeah.
See, and then he told them, go ye therefore and teach all the nations.
Amen.
Teach them all to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, teach them the Bible.
Amen.
That's the reason why we named our website teachingbible.org. Okay, because that's what we do. We teach the Bible.
Amen.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to do that until we hear the trumpet.
Amen.
See, when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
Yeah.
For the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And then he told the Thessalonians, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, therefore comfort ye one another with these words.
Mm-hmm.
So it's comforting to know that when it gets thick on earth, God has a plan for you who believe.
That's right.
And that is, I'm going to snatch you up out of it, and I'm going to deal with the balance of the people who are left. The Bible calls them dwellers upon the earth, those who dwell upon the earth at that point. Right now, God has two divisions on the earth, the saved and the lost.
That's right.
When he snatches the saved up,
Amen.
That is referred to as the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word harpazo is there, and that's a Greek word that means to snatch quickly and violently.
Amen.
See, it's to snatch so quick you don't know it's gone.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Like y'all seen the magician who grabbed the thing with all the glasses on the table, and he snatches it out, no glasses move, they all sit there. That's the way it's going to be.
Amen.
That's a loose illustration. I'm going to snatch my people out, nothing else is going to look like it changed.
Yeah.
You see? And that's the rapture, the snatching away or the catching away of the church.
Yeah.
So we look for that, but we don't want to worry ourselves with that or be bothered about that. That's just the fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God said. Behold, I show you a mystery.
Yeah.
In other words, you have to be in the spirit to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
But let's turn back to what we're looking at here specifically, and we're going to apply this because it's during this season of the year that we study what Jesus did. And how he offered himself, we call it the passion, because he was showing his most deep, passionate love for mankind by the offering of his own self.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would he do that? Why would the Son of God, who is perfect and spotless without sin, come into the world and offer himself?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of answers. I'm going to give you some easy ones you know about. Number one, it was written in the Word.
Amen.
For generations, centuries before time.
Mm-hmm.
It was spoken in prophecy back in the beginning when sin first took place.
Yes.
God said, "I will to the serpent, upon your belly shalt you go, and thus shalt you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Amen.
And it shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel."
Amen.
It tells you the gender of the Son of God, that he would be born of a woman, and that he would be the one who reverses the problem that Satan caused when he caused people to doubt God's word. And to act based on the doubt rather than on faith in what God has said. And so as we look here today, we turn the corner here and we want to talk about open application and proclamation of the greatest love ever. Because this is the greatest display of love that has ever been seen. And it was required by the Father.
Wow.
The Father said, I put one unblemished soul in the world. When that soul was stained with sin, everyone born out of his blood is automatically stained with sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the blood of Adam. Last week we talked briefly about the sinless, spotless blood of Jesus. God had prepared a way to deliver the blood of Jesus when he made Eve before the sin hit in the world. We said that. And we're not going to talk about all that today. Just listen to last week's message. It's online. If you weren't here, you didn't get it. But what I want you to understand is God made a doorway that he can come in to the world through a woman with no sin. And that's what he was thinking when he said it's not good that the man should be alone. See, because if Satan could get you into sin and there's no way for you to be redeemed, that would be a problem. See, so God made the way before the sin happened. And that's what we said when he made Eve. So what I want you to look at today here as we talk on this subject, just for the next few minutes, I want you to understand here in Psalms 98, you can read this along with me if you like. Psalms 98 and 1, the psalmist is writing here, and he says, this is a psalm of David, they say here in Psalm number 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Sing unto the Lord with the harp, with the voice of a psalm, with the trumpets and the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. All right, that is the Psalm number 98. And may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Now read with me a few verses from the 15th chapter of John. This is Big John, we call it around here. In the 15th chapter, John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whosoever ye shall say, ask of in my Father's name, whatsoever ye shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Now those last two verses are words that are typically omitted in reading because people don't want to hear about the world hating you like it hated him. But I mean, it's essential for us to understand that what we do when we go out and we apply God's word to ourselves, and even more so when we proclaim God's word to others, when we do that, there will be an expression of hatred.
Amen.
From the world. You know, and so you need to be prepared for that. If I never tell you that this could happen, you might be shocked when you go and share good news with somebody that you may be getting a backlash of hatred or animosity. And he said, but why? Because the message is pointed. It makes itself exclusive. It sounds as though it's the only thing you can do to be right with God. Now, why is that? You know why? Because it's the only thing you can do to be right with God.
Amen.
I didn't say it. Jesus did.
Amen.
So people will hate that because it seems so narrow. They say, oh, Christians are narrow-minded. You know what? Jesus was narrow-minded. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. That's pretty narrow, isn't it? That's saying you're the only way to God. And so we need to understand that. Our message will be sounding pointed, although it is in fact true. And the reason we can say it's true is because who else got out the grave? You know what? Death is holding everybody who ever professed that they had a religion or any kind of a way of living or anything. Anybody you name, they didn't have a solution to the problem of death. And the only one who does have a solution to the problem of death is the one who defeated death in the grave and got up with all power and said, all power is given to me. Now, you know, I have reason to believe him. It's hard for me to believe somebody else and they're still in the tomb. If whatever you're teaching couldn't get you out the tomb.
All right.
You know what? You're in the box. So I can't believe what you're saying. And if Jesus could have been disproven that he didn't get out the grave, we wouldn't be preaching him today.
Right.
Be nothing to preach.
Amen.
It would cancel the gospel because it isn't gospel if Jesus is in the tomb. But the fact that he could not be found dead, he was seen alive for 40 days after the resurrection. See, and he ascended into heaven after 40 days. After he commissioned the church, that's ones who believe, the believing ones, the called out ones, folks who believe, you go and teach the rest of the world. And then he said, and I'll be back. I'll be returning. The apostles stood and watched as Jesus ascended.
Yeah.
We call that the ascension into heaven, because he told them to go and wait till they be endued with power from on high in Acts chapter 1. And so they went. There was 120 of them. But he took off.
Amen.
Right after he made that announcement. They asked him, Lord, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? You know why? Because they knew all that he did. He showed them before he went to the cross that I'm Messiah, that I am God. I have power. I have authority over the elements. I can tell a storm, stop that.
Yeah.
And the storm will stop.
Yeah.
I can talk to a blind man and say, see.
Mm-hmm.
And the blind man can see.
Amen.
I can speak to a dead man and say, get up, Lazarus.
Right,
come forth.
Amen.
And he'll get up.
Amen.
And rigor mortis will be reversed after the days you've been decomposing in the tomb, and you will come forth.
Yeah.
He showed that he was God beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
While he was alive. He could still the storm. He could produce food out of little of nothing. He took a little boy's lunch and fed multitudes. Thousands, he had shown them that he was God in the flesh while he was walking around. And then he allowed himself to be turned over to the hands of the sinners and the religious people who crucified him. And that blew the disciples away. They couldn't understand that part. Well, we got the part where you got all power and you can walk on water and you can still the storm and you can make demons behave and you can do all those things. This part about you being crucified, we're not ready for that. That's not part of what we're looking for. That's why, and that was to fulfill scripture. Zechariah said that they will smite the shepherd and the flock will be scattered. So all of that was the fulfillment of scripture. See, and Jesus knew it, but they weren't really feeling it. They couldn't put the first and second advent of Christ in their mind. They know you are the Christ. We can see that. Because you're getting off, dude. Look at the stuff you're doing. Oh, we're going to follow you, Lord. I want to be at your right hand. I want to be at your left. But then when Judas betrayed him and they came with the guards and all that to carry him away, Peter said, well, I'm ready. I told him I'm going to stand up for you. He started to swing the sword. Jesus told him, put the sword away, Peter. And to put the ear back on Malchus, Peter cut off. Remember that?
Yeah.
And Peter's going, wait a minute, man. This don't seem like what I had in mind here. See, and he told him, you know, he had already told him in private, if they all betray you, Lord, I'll never do it.
Yeah.
He said, Simon, Simon, don't you know that Satan has sought to have you that he might sift you like wheat? And he says, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. That when you are converted, he said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows in the morning.
Amen.
Peter said, oh, man, he wasn't feeling it. See, he didn't believe it. But then he found out exactly what Jesus said came to pass. And Jesus looked over at him right after the cock crowed when he said, "I don't know him," three times. He even had to cuss a little to make it look authentic. Not going to ask some authenticity. You said, "Well, you sure sound like him." And then he said a few words we're not going to say this morning. We don't know what he said. But it was some bad words. "I'm going to show you I don't know him." You know, and then he went on off. Y'all fill me in all those little X's and circles and stuff. He went off to cuss to say, "I don't belong to him." You know, and he said it very adamantly. Then Jesus looked over at him. See, because he didn't understand what was going on. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Because he understood that the prophecy Jesus gave me is true. I thought I could stand up under the pressure. They tried to identify me with him. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I had to cover myself, go back into my old ways. I remember how bold I was when he came walking on the sea. And I thought he was a spook at first or some kind of a spirit. And he said, it's the Lord. Is it the Lord? He said, "This is me." He said, "Well, then bid me that I should come out to you." He said, "Come on, bring it on," Jesus said. Of course, Simon got out the boat and started to walk on the water. Wow, and he was heading over there and he looked and realized, "Hey, I'm on the sea. Help!" And he went down. "Lord, save me." See, because his faith slipped up on him. But God was testing the faith of his disciples. And he was letting them know, yes, I do have power. I am fulfilling everything the Father had prophesied about me in my first advent. And notice this here. God keeps his cards face up. I'm going to use that as a bad illustration. Because y'all understand card games. But don't nobody in here deal with no cards, though. But in either case, God keeps his hand face up so you know what's in his hand. And that's what we can see here in this psalm in number 98. He says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." God ought to put a new song in your heart every so often. That you can get up no matter what's going on. I got something I need to praise the Lord about. Yeah. And I'll make my own song. You don't even have to know about it. I'm going to get up and just make my own. Do a little scatting in the Lord here. And give him some praise in the shower in the morning or something. However you want to do it. Or as you're going down the road, when you think about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. For he had done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. And what the victory is, the Lord's. You just happen to be a part of it. If he calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light, his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. You see who the possessive one here is? God. Salvation is mine, but I want to give it to you. I possess it, but I want you to have it. And I'm giving it to you free. You don't have to worry about what do I do to earn it. How can I receive it? Well, God wants you to have it. It's a free gift. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. God said, you know what? The reason Jesus is in the middle of time is I want the whole world round about to know what happened. See, I made him famous. I'm the one put him in the middle of all of y'all calendar. Where you got to count every second. Your birth certificate is based on his birth certificate.
That's what it is.
I put him in your life whether you want him in there or not. Nobody else, that's not true of anyone else on earth. But Jesus. It's 2019 based on his birth. Time before that was B.C., before Christ. God did that so that it would be hard for anyone to ignore him or overlook him. So we know that he is the one because no one else is that true of. So God put it on display as his salvation, as his righteousness. He provided it. We don't have what it takes to satisfy God. So God says, I know you don't have it. Nobody's had it since Adam sinned. See, but I'm going to fix it. I already fixed it before Adam sinned. How I can bring my son in so he can die on the cross and pay all of y'all's bill. So that you can know for sure that this is my salvation, but I give it to you. How do you receive it? By faith. Just believe God, what he said to you.
Yeah.
Believe the stuff God has put indelible evidence in your life, like your calendar.
Uh-huh.
You know I've been here. Nobody else has a credential like that.
No one else.
It's not BB before Buddha. None of that. It's all about Jesus.
All about Jesus.
Can't deny it. Wall Street's clock ticks by the birth of Jesus. You see, the Big Ben clock over in London, wherever that is, when it chimes, it's chiming out time based on Jesus. You see, and so we know God did that. There's no other way he could be in the middle of our time system like that in our calendar. So what I want you to see here, notice on as we look in this Psalm 98, we had to try to get past this, but I just wanted you to see, God does everything openly, it says there in verse 2, in the sight of the heathen. That's people who don't believe. That word heathen is a Hebrew word, goyim, and it means normally translated Gentiles. Because there was a segment in people, division by God between the Jews and the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews were those who were in the know about God's salvation and what he was doing. Why? Because he chose them and put them in the know. He created them out of nothing, or so to speak. How did he do that? He came to a 75-year-old man who had no offspring.
Mm-hmm.
He told him, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham was 75. Now think about it. Sometimes some of us are closer to 75 than others. Some of us are pretty far away from it, so we don't think about it. By the time you get to be close to 75, you're thinking, okay, I'm coming around the bend, and I hope I got my stuff all in order, because I'm starting to slow down now. And my father's inheritance will come to me. That's what he was thinking at that time. All these things he has acquired, because he's a few more years up the road than me. And I'm going to be sitting pretty good all along this time, all the way up till I check out. And I'm kind of in my last little sprint on the last mile. That's kind of where he was.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, you know what God said? Leave it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Walk away. Come to a land I'm going to show you.
Right.
I'll bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I'm going to multiply your seed like the sand of the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
And like the stars of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his wife Sarai left. They went out of Ur, which was a pagan land, not knowing whither they went.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know where this is. And we're leaving everything, all our security. We're leaving it behind. Everything we worked for and planned on all our life, we're leaving it behind. We're going where God said, and we don't know where we're going. Walked away from it. And God made his word good. Walked away from everything. See, left cattle.
Yes.
Farmland, all manner of stuff that they could have counted on at this rare old age. Why? Because of faith. He believed God. The Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. That's how you and I get saved. Same way. Believe God. Believe his word. And then what happened? God began to multiply Abraham's seed. He didn't strike right away. You know how long it took? Abraham was, the Bible says he was 83. And that was not with his wife. That was with Ishmael. See there, he was about 83. So there's going to be years down the road before any seed action took place. But he had faith to believe. See, and Ishmael was not the one God promised. He said, no, it's going to be with your wife, Sarah. I think he was actually 99 right there. I think he was 83 when he was circumcised. Getting my numbers mixed up here. But the fact is, he walked out by faith. He abandoned whatever he was hoping on. And now I'm hoping on you, Lord, and your provision. See, and that's the thing I want you to see. And so God did give him a seed. The seed he wanted, which was the child of promise, was Isaac by the time he hit 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
25 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So God may not do stuff in the few minutes that you hope he will. We're such a fast-paced society. Mm-hmm. We want to pray today and then I can see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sometime you're going to pray today and it may be a while before you see it.
Yeah.
Right.
We got to be ready for that.
That's right.
But don't mean God doesn't keep his word. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. When Isaac was born, 25 years had passed from the time of the promise. But God is always on display in the world. He gives you reason to continue to trust him no matter what you're doing. That's why he's always worthy of praise. It says here, he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. You know what? Israel is a miracle by itself. The fact that they even exist is a miracle.
Yes, it is.
Because everybody around them hate them. They hate them. They've even publicly went on TV and said, I'd like to just push you into the ocean and you don't exist no more.
Yeah.
Like what? All of these Arabs and other people who came out of the seed of Ishmael and Esau,
they all
around there, and they hate Israel. It's amazing. And the fact that they're their smallest little parcel of real estate almost on the planet lets you know that it's the power of God who is behind Israel. But he says here that the Lord, he says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a loud noise in rejoicing. His praises sing unto the Lord with the harp, with the harp, with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make joyful noise before the Lord the King. Continue to praise him. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In other words, eventually everyone will praise God that is left in the world. Even the ones who don't believe God will give him praise before it's all over. That's why Paul said that there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, and so the ones who do it ahead of time are going to be the most joyful of all. You know, they're not going to be made to do it, because it's going to come a day everybody's going to realize there's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And he has one Son, who is Jesus, who is the focal point of the salvation of all the world. And God has displayed it in the presence of everybody. That's why it's known about. People talk about it all the time. They may not believe. Nobody denies. Well, there's a few folk out there, a few folks that are really stretched, who say, oh, that never happened.
Sure.
You need to get your books and open them.
All right.
Because you'll find out it's in every legitimate form of history. We'll have a record of what happened in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness and judge the world and the people with equity. So when God does what he does, it's going to be completely fair.
Yes.
Everyone will have had opportunity to receive salvation, which God has purchased for everyone, and he would like everyone to receive it. So God has published for all the world his position on the way he cares for all mankind of every situation and or every nationality, because he loves all the people and has displayed his love publicly to the point that it should never be said that he doesn't care. And for this reason, the psalmist recorded that God shall be coming to judge the world in righteousness and equity. Why? Because you know what God did. You may not believe it, but he's made it public. What happened to Jesus is public information.
Amen.
You know, all the world ought to know about it.
Right.
They don't. It's my responsibility to proclaim it. That's why I said we call this message what we did, the application. I want to apply what that means to myself, and I want to proclaim it to everyone else. That it's the greatest love that has ever happened. God gave his only begotten Son. So the very same way, the very same love was fleshed out by Jesus, the Son of God, who came to magnify the love and promises that his Father had made in his word publicly. That's what Jesus was about.
Yeah.
Was to come in the midst of mankind and make a public proclamation that this is how much God loves you. He sent me, his representative, to show you that I am God and that he loves you. Anything going wrong down here, blindness, I can reverse it.
Yeah.
People deaf, I can make you hear.
Yes. Yeah.
Folks with a disease doubled over in pain, I can make you whole.
Amen.
Folks who have spiritual needs and disorders full of demons, I can tell the demons to leave you alone.
Yeah.
I can cast them out of your life. I can give you back everything that is negative out of your life. I can fix it.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm going to show you even that one that worries everybody, the grave.
Yeah.
I got power over the grave.
Right.
I'm going to show you before I leave. Lazarus, come forth.
Yeah.
And Lazarus got up after 4 days and came back and was whole. That was before Jesus was crucified. I'm showing you that who I am right now, this is my credential. And then I'm going to finish it up by this time I'm going into death myself and taste it for you. And then by that, I will defeat the grave.
Yes.
So, you know, I have an ultimate solution for that problem for all people.
All right.
And whoever trusts in me will not be put to shame. And you, he said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Believest thou this? He asked him the question. And that's what I ask you today. Before he did that, the passage in John 15 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that your joy, my joy, might remain in you. He says, I want you to still have that joy that you had when I was around doing all that stuff.
Yes.
Giving sight to the blind, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding multitudes, paying your taxes out of a fish's mouth. Have that same joy, but I'm going to do something else that's going to blow your mind. So he's telling them this before here in this discourse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Yes.
All that I did was to teach you to love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See? And now he's talking about preparation for the cross. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I do not call you servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. That's the connection we have with Jesus. He will tell you God's word for you.
Yes.
See, I'm transmitting from God to you his word. How am I going to do that? I'm going to leave you another comforter, he goes to in the next chapter. He's going to be just like me.
Yeah.
He's with you now, but he's going to be in you, he said.
Yeah.
And he will lead you and guide you to all truth. He'll be an internal connector to connect you to what the Father is saying, what the Father is doing, what the Father meant in his word,
yeah,
where you are in history, how you should respond,
yeah,
to everything in your life.
Yeah.
And that was the promise he's making here in 15. He says, here, notice this, henceforth I don't call you servants, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. That's why we're here. The purpose of the life of Christians is to go forth and bring fruit for God, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You now have a prayer connection with God the Father.
Yeah.
You can ask whatever. You might be looking at a situation, how do I deal with this, Lord? How can I break this ice over here where it's really frosty in this person's life and they don't hear me? Talk to God about it.
Yes.
Let God, the Holy Spirit, minister to you what you ought to do.
Please.
In that situation. Don't go try to make it happen. Just talk to God about it.
Yeah.
You got an open door to God. And God will give you a solution in his own time. Speak to the Father in my name that he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And finally, if the world hates you, you might get some backlash from someone who says, oh, Christians are too narrow. And you don't worry about it, because he says they'll hate you because they hated me first. So some will, but I have to prepare you. Doesn't mean they'll continue. You know what? Saul of Tarsus hated Jesus.
Yes,
the record is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He hated him. Hate your church. It's gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rubbing it out. Not only do I hate it, I'm rubbing it out.
Yeah.
But he got converted. Maybe it was from Stephen's prayer, Father, have mercy on them, while he was standing there collecting the coats of the people stoning him to death in Acts 7. He said, don't let this sin be charged to their account. His prayer may be part of the catalyst that got Paul saved on the Damascus Road. Although we know God was going to call, he said he was a vessel chosen from his mother's womb to proclaim his name before the Gentiles.
Amen.
Number three here on your notes, Jesus taught his disciples before and after the cross. Notice that. That's what I wanted you to see, that 15. That love is the principal motivation and the power that prevailed over death. Love is stronger than death. It's stronger than sin. It's stronger than the grave. It's stronger than every negative thing
yes.
in your life.
Yes.
And the prevailed over death, which was defeated by the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which culminated at the cross. And the victory was displayed after 3 days and nights, which is as it had been written, when the tomb was powerless to maintain a hold on Jesus, who got up and declared, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." Mm-hmm. So what else in your life is worse than death? I don't know of anything. I think it's the most devastating thing I've ever experienced in life. So what in your life can the Lord handle?
Anything.
He can handle anything you're dealing with. And that's why I did what I did. So that you can know I love you. I showed you I have power before I went to the grave. And then I went to the grave to show you I have power over the grave.
My Lord.
So you don't have to worry about it. I know that some of the stuff that breaks us up the most is the memory of people who have passed on.
Yep.
And if they were saved, you know what? They probably doing a hallelujah dance you ain't never heard of. They ain't thinking about nothing down here. The scripture even records it. It says about some souls that were under the altar saying, "How long, oh Lord? How long? How long you gonna put up with that?" They're saying, "Bring it on. Bring the kingdom on."
Yeah. How long?
And you know what? Jesus said, "Many who are last shall be first, and many who are first shall be last." Everybody comes in at the same time. But when God does away with time, we're all going to show up at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
There ain't going to be anybody in there. You look, oh, I'm expecting to see some old folk with a beard all the way down to the ankle. Nope, show up at the same time.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced that we don't need to worry. Mm-hmm. We don't need to worry. Sometimes we have pity party and we've come undone. When you think about it, if your folks were saved, and I hope they were,
yes,
you don't need to worry. I think there's going to be some folks saved that surprise us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that's where God put the stuff he put in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Got folk like Samson. Well, you didn't do anything God said.
Mm-hmm.
How do you end up in the list with the folks of faith?
All right.
What? You didn't believe your parents. You did everything they told you don't do.
Uh-huh.
And this is no excuse to sin.
Amen.
It's just a big, big high five to God how he can deal with some unscrupulous, raggedy folks.
Right.
And still have love and have them listed among the people of faith.
Have mercy, Lord.
You know what? I was a raggedy list. I probably still am, pretty much. I'm going to be truthful up here. I'm not perfect. I'm glad God has a wide mercy. I really am. But I'm not going to disbelieve him and say I don't trust his word or his son or the work that he did for me. Samson didn't either. When he was down to the last little bit, all eyes plucked out, hair all cut off, hanging up there looking miserable, he said, "Lord, just one more time. Give me the strength. And I'm going to take out these Philistines." You see, God said, "Okay, fine." He took them out. Then he said he destroyed more in his death than he did in his life. That was a miserable way to go.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to have a miserable life.
No way.
You don't either. You don't have to. God loves you.
That's right.
Yes, he does.
He loves you.
Yes, he does.
And whatever's broke, he can fix it. Whatever's broke in your life, he can fix it. If it happened to be your wallet, he can fix it. You can't be broke in the wallet, right? He can fix it. See, you got to give it to him, though. Just like the little boy's lunch, I'm going to give it to you. And look at this multitude. What can you do with it? I'll feed them all and we'll pick up 12 baskets when we get through. That's what happens when you turn it over to God. If there's anybody here that's not saved, I just want to say a word of prayer. Let us stand at this time. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you.
Hallelujah.
We have heard your word. Hallelujah. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Above all, we thank you for your son. You gave him so that miserable wretches can be saved. And so we come as a miserable wretch asking you to save our soul, Lord. We believe you raised Jesus out the grave and seated him at your right hand. And so, Father, we want to be saved. We trust in him. We have heard the good news, the gospel that you save whosoever believes in him and believes that you raise him from the dead. So, Father, we love you the best we know how, and we pray that you accept us into your kingdom. We give you all the praise and the glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And the church say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. Amen.